Well, good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you to Crossroads. Why don't we give God a hand for the worship music that we just had? Well, I'm glad that you're with us this morning, and at the early service and the later service, we're kicking off a brand new teaching series titled The Purity Option, and we're going to be looking at how to truthfully pursue pure pleasure. They might be saying, why are we talking about purity? What's this about? What's going to be the background behind this message? And I sent this out, but basically what inspired this message about a little less than a year ago was two things. First of all, when I look at our culture, I realize that our culture is saturated with three things. It's saturated with selfishness, not just children, adults too, okay? It's saturated with seduction. You know, and think about what seduction is and what that means. You know, it's in the music. It's in the movie. It's everywhere. And we can shake our fist and complain. But, you know, what does God want us to do? And our culture is saturated with sex. And these three areas present a lot of confusion for both folks who are young and old. Now, why am I concerned about that? Well, first and foremost, I'm a father. And I have a four-year-old and pray to have more children. I have children in this church. I love every single one of the children in this church. And as somebody who works with children, who has a child, I don't want to be desensitized to the fact that our culture doesn't even know that it has an option of purity. Secondly, and this is important to understand, is that the Bible goes to great lengths to explain to us Jesus himself gave a great statement for each and every one of us to grab onto. And it's going to be the theme of this series. I'm going to teach on the verse this morning because it's the first message. Jesus said this, "Blessed are the pure in heart." And look what Jesus said, "For they shall see God." You know what's interesting? As a pastor, you do counseling as part of the job. And it's a fun part of the job because you get to encourage folks when they want answers to things. And a number of times, in a roundabout way, what's often communicated to me on the other chair is you know, I'm just ultimately, this is how I'm deciphering it, somebody's trying to see God's hand in a situation in their life, good, bad, or indifferent. They got to make a decision about a career. They have a problem at home. They have an issue in a relationship. Money trouble, relational trouble, mental trouble, health trouble. It could be anything. And ultimately, folks are genuinely seeking, or else they wouldn't be talking to a pastor, they're genuinely seeking spiritual advice because ultimately they want to see the direction of God in their life. How many of you want to see God's direction in your life? Okay? That's a good thing, okay? You want to see what the plan of God is for your life, and you want to see what God's direction is in specifically what you're going through. Because in case you haven't noticed yet, you have a little friend with you that travels everywhere you go. It's called stress. Okay? And we get stressed out a lot. Everybody shows their stress differently, even the macho men, even though you may not show it and wear it outwardly. A lot of times, stress could be taking place on the inside, and for men, you don't find out about it until you go to a doctor and they start reading you some numbers and you almost fall over the table when the doctor communicates things to you. But the fact of the matter is a great deal of stress in this life is not just over the problems that we have, but it's the process of which we go through to try to handle those problems. And that is why Jesus said, "You shall see God." That is a promise that each and every one of us needs. And it's available. You could collect on this promise, this benefit of Christianity. But it would be a waste for us not to take into account the words of Christ in this area. And so when we talk about the purity option, number one, we're doing this series because our culture is just saturated with choices, and nobody tells you anything about purity. You know, I almost want to hang a big sign out here and advertise about purity, okay? A couple of weeks, we're going to talk about pure sex, pure gratification. Did you know that God is the author of sex, that God wrote about it? Not Dr. Phil, not Lady Gaga, God did. You know, you'd be surprised. Oh, we're going to talk, oh no, the pastor's mentioning the S word in church. Let's run for the exit. Well, would we rather the kids hear about it in the streets or in school? What a better place to hear about that than church, to be educated of what God requires of it. You know, what better place to hear about how to invest our heart in any area of life than church? where there's no behind the scenes motive here other than for helping folks to see God, to see God clearly. And so when we think about this message, our culture needs it because nobody talks about a purity option. It's nowhere on television. It's nowhere in any government programs or anything like that. It has to come from the church. It has to come from spirituality. And that's a good thing, and it should. And so we ourselves, we must make sure that we're walking pure of heart so we can see God, so we can help other people see God in their life. Secondly, this is a main theme in the Bible, that when you and I walk in purity, it avails us to a totally different relationship with God. Instead of having always a forgive me relationship, although God loves you and forgives you and I, and his mercies do renew each day, instead of our relationship, the extent of our relationship with God being, oh God, I did it again, oh geez, or oh God, I'm in a jam, if you can come through right now, oh boy, I'd really love it, God. You know, God wants you to graduate from that relationship, and he wants you to graduate into walking in a newness of life. And that's why Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at all these different messages, everything from pure motivation to pure contribution, pure gratification. This week, we're going to start off with this verse, and we're going to talk about pure vision, how to have pure vision, how to see God clearly. Now, when you talk about vision, what comes to mind? The eyes. And eyes are, without question, doctors will tell you this. You go ask your doctor next time you're with him. He might think you're weird, but you say, I want to talk to you about the eye before we talk about anything else. But when you think about the eye, it is, next to the brain, perhaps one of the most remarkable creations of God in the human body. Okay, and you have a couple of notable parts that you and I know and that we can all pronounce. The cornea, which is, God gave us this. The cornea is the transparent tissue at the front of the eyes through which light coming from an object enters the eye. It also helps with focusing the light to the retina. You know, the pupil, of course, this is the opening in the center and where light passes and falls. The eye lens, of course, there's the retina. The optic nerve is the bundle of nerve fibers that serves as a cable that connects the eye to the brain. I mean, that's amazing. And this optic nerve helps in transmitting signals from the retina to the visual center of the brain. Simply amazing. Now, enough of those boring details. Let's look at some interesting facts about the eyes, okay? Our eyes can process 36,000 bits of information in an hour's time, okay? Find me an Apple device that could do that, right? Okay, very interesting. The human eye goes on to blink at an average of 4,200,000 times every year. It's impossible to sneeze with your eyes open, okay? Now, we know people who sneeze without a tissue in their hand or covering their nose, unfortunately. I was traveling to the city the other day, and this person, they were having, I guess they were sick, and they decided to bless the whole train with their germs. You know, they did it, you know, on the first sneeze, you give them a mea culpa, okay, no problem. They just couldn't react in time. But on the fourth sneeze, could you use one of your hands, you know? And I was searching for a tissue. I was going to give him, here you go, sir, if you could please cover your nose. But anyway, you can't sneeze and have your eyes open at the same time. The human eye can see light, the light of a candle that has been placed 14 miles away under suitable conditions. The human eye is capable of detecting over 10 million colors. That's remarkable, okay? The human eye can distinguish 500 shades of the color gray. The cornea is the only living tissue that does not contain any blood vessels. All babies are colorblind when they are born. The color of the iris determines whether our eyes look black, blue, green, brown, or gray. The lens in our eye is quicker than any camera lens invented to this day. And that's remarkable for those of you who have some of them cool cameras. That's remarkable. During an average lifespan, a human would see around 25 million images around him. And then the muscles of the eye are the most active ones in the whole body. And so the eye is a fascinating part of the body. And I like to think of that being the case also spiritually, of how the eye takes everything in and it reports back to the brain. And so is the case spiritually. Everything that we see from a godly perspective or an ungodly perspective feeds the rest of who we are. That's why Jesus said that the eye is the lamp unto the body and the soul. It's the window to the soul. It's the lamp to the soul. And if your eye is sick, If your vision is sick, well, then the whole person is going to be sick. And so we start this message series off with what I believe is the foundation for the rest of the messages, and that is how to have pure vision. Because through pure vision, clarity will lead to purity. There's no doubt about it. If we could clearly understand who God is and what God expects of us in our life, and if we can have that pure vision, we will grow exponentially. You know, Christian maturity has nothing to do with age or how big your Bible is. Sometimes we think that. Or how fancy your clothes are when you come to church. Christian maturity has everything to do with your willingness to walk with God in this way, to blessed be the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so what I want to do right now is I want to look at applicational points from these teachings of Jesus and apply them into our heart so we can have pure vision. But let's start off by looking at the beginning of chapter 5 and give a context to this verse and other verses that we will talk about both this week and in the weeks to come. You'll notice in Matthew chapter 5, you can find your place there, and the verses will also be on the screen. Matthew chapter 5, and this is an interesting portion of Scripture. We're introduced to the very first teachings of Jesus. This is the very first sermon that's on record for Jesus. It's the greatest sermon ever given. It's called the Sermon on the Mount, for those of you who might be new to this real estate of the Bible. But Matthew chapter 5, there's more than meets the eye, no pun intended, to what we're about to read. The fact of the matter is that Jesus' listeners are stuck in somewhat of a spiritual confusion. See, the Pharisees, the religious ruling body of the day, they were so caught up on religious tradition that it really served as a noose around everybody else's neck, to be honest with you. What happened was they focused so much on tradition in this main way. The Ten Commandments that all of us are familiar with contain 613 Hebrew letters. What the religious leaders did was they decided, well, the Ten Commandments, why don't we add another 613 commandments on top of that? And you know what? I'm kind of simple. I'm thinking, man, I have a hard enough time keeping the Ten Commandments. Now you're going to throw on 613? Talk about confusing. Some of them, you know, might have some spiritual roots, but I mean, they were man's tradition. And so 613 commandments broken up into 365 positive ones. And they chose 365 positive ones for one of every day of the year. And then 248 prohibitive ones for how many bones the human body has. And so they neatly packaged it together. And here were these commands. And they were confusing the folks. And people didn't understand how to relate to God ultimately, how to walk with God, how to experience the blessing of God's mercy. Thus, you had folks more erring on the side of confusion than clarity. And so Jesus is going to give this Sermon on the Mount. He's going to give what we call the Beatitudes, which means how to be happy, how to be blessed, and he gives of how to do it. This morning, I'm going to jump down to verse 8, but let's look at the first two verses because they give us a good picture of what's going on here. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 5, Matthew, the reformed tax collector, now follower of Jesus, is blessed to write these words for us, and this is what he records. And seeing the multitude, speaking of Jesus, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and then he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, and he's going to go through the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. Now notice, Jesus sees the multitudes. A number of times, the gospel writers tell us that, and Jesus sees. And so, you know, we're talking about seeing today in vision. You know, Jesus' vision isn't, oh, look at this crowd, what a pain this is going to be. No, he sees the crowd, and we're told in other places, as we connect the Greek language here, that Jesus sees the crowd. And what does Jesus have? Contempt? No, he has what? Compassion. Jesus came into the world. He actually said this statement, I've come into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And so he looks out on the crowd. The crowd isn't an inconvenience to him. The crowd is a reason to call them together. The crowd inspires compassion because Jesus' vision is God's vision. He has a godly vision. And so Jesus sees the multitude. And then what he does, he goes up on the mountain, not because he wants to get away, but because he's smart. He knows that there's going to be more space there. There probably is going to be less disturbance from those knucklehead religious leaders. And so they go up on the mountain. And it says that when he was seated, this was a position that a rabbi or a teacher, somebody of authority, would take when they would teach. Now imagine if we did that here. I would sit here in a nice, comfortable leather chair. you know, and prop up my feet and everybody would stand up for 40 minutes, you probably wouldn't like that, okay? I mean, that's what would happen here, the teacher of authority. I prefer standing up. I'm happy you're comfortable and you're sitting down. But, you know, here Jesus would be seated. His disciples came to him. And you have this amazing scene of Jesus getting ready to teach the words of life, words that are going to help open people's eyes. And you know what? You never get too old in your faith to have your eyes open to God. I find people who are in a dangerous place spiritually when they are so prideful that they think there's nothing more to learn. Oh, I've learned it all. I never forget one time we were holding this discipleship class, and this person went on to tell me that they were too good to come to it. And I said, oh, excuse me. I'm so sorry we announced it in your presence, you know. And they took offense to that. I was being spiritually sarcastic. I didn't think there was anything wrong with that. I mean, as long as you're being spiritually sarcastic, there's nothing wrong with it. So that's what happened. But, you know, the point is that we never arrive. You never graduate from having the Lord open your eyes and having a deeper vision of who he is. You have more knuckleheads running around pretending they see Mary and this vision and that vision and having hallucinations. How about just seeing what God says and doing that? Focus on that. Don't worry about seeing the cross dripping blood. That's not important. The blood's already been spilt for the forgiveness of sin and for the newness of life. Don't worry about trying to catch blood dripping off some cross. Well, how about you focus on seeing God clearly? Jesus saw it, and he wanted to make sure that the people saw it, because there are some important things to see. Because if you don't see what God has for you, the stress is just going to multiply and multiply. The guilt's going to multiply and multiply. And can I say this word? The level of being and being disobedient, the level of not knowing right from wrong, we're going to think we're always right, and we're going to think anything we want to do goes, and that level of basically being our own boss and having our, I mean, that's just going to continue and increase, and we're never going to know which end is up. And so Jesus said he was compassionate, he saw the crowd. Verse 2 says, then he opened his mouth and he taught them. Now, what was that like? You know, hearing the words right from, I mean, we read the word of God. Whether we're in a jam, we're at home, we read it, we're encouraged. You're at church, you hear it expounded upon this morning. You do your own little Bible study. I have again this week all verses written out for you. And you feel comforted. Imagine being in Jesus' physical presence and watching his mouth move and hearing him, seeing him move his hands. And, you know, a lot of times Jesus, as I told you before, he would interject humor into his messages that was prevalent to his culture. What was that like? And so must have been amazing. Jesus opens his mouth and he taught them. I want you to understand, one of the main purposes for the Bible is not to hit somebody over the head, not for it to be a rule book, but to teach people how to see God. And so Jesus is going to teach them. And one of the beautiful teachings that comes out of Jesus at the very beginning of this, when Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Now, normally when people interpret these verses aren't in your notes. We're going to look at them in the weeks to come, but it's fitting for the context. Blessed are those who mourn. People read that at funerals. That has nothing to do with a dead body. Nothing at all. Now, yes, God comforts those who need comfort, and so should we. Weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn. We understand all that. But blessed are those who mourn is speaking of blessed is the person who understands their own sinfulness, who understands their need for God. We'll look at that in the weeks to come. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, that usually people think, well, this is just the faith for the poor people. And then when you get money, you don't need to come to church. Just poor people come to church. Well, not just poor people come to church. It's not a poor man's religion. It's for everybody, okay? Anybody wants to open their heart to God, and God is willing to show them the way. But blessed are the poor in spirit has nothing to do with dollars and cents. Blessed are the poor in spirit means that you and I acknowledge the fact that we are spiritually bankrupt apart from God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, not blessed are the prideful in spirit, not blessed are those who present their religion and think that they're the greatest thing since sliced bread, because that's what the Pharisees were doing. And when you do that, not only are you delusional, you're not going to be able to reap the blessings that come from the cross. You're not going to be able to do it. And so, when Jesus begins to teach, it brings up a point about vision that's highly important. Because if we're going to see God clearly, we need to know the source of forgiveness. And so write this down. Seek the peace of clarity through forgiveness. Seek the peace of clarity you and I, even though we might look different, we might act different, we might smell different, okay? We might like different foods. We are very much the same. We, at the core of our being, are all about us. That's how we are. We could write a book together. We could co-author it. It's all about me. That is the sinful nature within all of us. That's what it all gets back to. Therefore, we need the forgiveness of God. We need the mercy of God. You know, I was just talking this week with somebody who's a trusted mentor in my life, and we're each other's accountability partner, and we were talking about this very topic, that, you know, there's going to be times. When we talk about purity, I know, myself included, if we thought this was the perfection option, we all might as well go home right now or go out to eat together and just forget church this week. Because let me give you some imperfect English. None of us be perfect, okay? It's not the perfect option. We could strive to it, the Bible says, but only God is perfect and His Son is perfect. We understand that. But purity is an option. Purity is on the table. You need to know that. Maybe in your life before, nobody ever told you that it's possible for you to have pure ways, pure minds, a pure heart, pure hands. But it all starts with understanding first the beauty and the purity of God's forgiveness. That the sacrifice on the cross was pure. That there was nothing added to it. There needs to be nothing taken away from it. It was the pure blood of Christ that paid for our sins in full. And that's something that should motivate us. That should be the basis of why we want to have pure vision. Because Christ purified us with His own blood. You and I are stained by our own sin. But it's the forgiveness of Christ on the cross that actually gives us the opportunity to even talk about purity. Purity would be impossible, humanly speaking, to even strive towards apart from the mercy and the forgiveness of God. And my friends, I make you this promise. Seek the forgiveness of God in your life, and that will help you see clearly in your life. See, there's a lot of things that are going on in your closet right now, and whether you want to share them with me or somebody else, that's your own business. But make sure you share them with God. He already knows them anyway, okay? I mean, might as well tell God. He already knows it anyway. So the fact of the matter is you want to seek forgiveness, and that means confession. You know, if you're writing notes next to these things, that's what that means, daily confession. That if you want to have pure vision with God and you want to have the clarity of seeing God, you know, you need daily confession in your life. You need to seek forgiveness that way, and that will be extremely healthy for you. And so this becomes a very important foundational point. Forgiveness leads to clarity, no doubt about it. Pure vision. Now, pure vision. Now, it'd be great if God came down and He could show me around and tell me what to do. That would help me out a lot. But that's not going to happen, because the just shall live by what? By sight? No, by what? By faith. We are in the faith age. You know, years and years ago, before the completion of the Bible, they needed those clear visions visually. You know, they needed all these big audible voices, and Moses needed the burning bush, and they, you know, the oracle of God, the word of God, which we hold today, was not complete. They needed that. We are blessed to have the Bible in our hands. In fact, Jesus actually said to Thomas, "Thomas, you know, you believe because you see, but blessed are those who believe who don't see." So there's a blessing attached to trusting God, even though we don't see Him with a sign outside a church telling us what to do. There's a blessing there when you have pure vision, according to Jesus. There's a blessing there. Again, it'd be great to have signs pointing everywhere, but faith. The just shall walk by faith. We please God by having faith. And we got to have faith to see God. And we start by seeking forgiveness, because we got to clear the record. We have to empty the guilty conscience before God. We have to get down and dirty here, because Christ did on the cross for us. And we got to deal with the struggles that we have. You know, life brings struggles with it, and God offers forgiveness and mercy. I don't care how cool and great and spiritual you think you are, you need daily confession in your life. Notice today's message isn't how to have and how to be a religious nutcase. That's not today's message. That's not what it is. Now, I could tell you, I could give you some pointers and tell you who to watch how to be a religious nutcase and how to be a phony, but that's not today's message. Today's message is about being real. It's about seeing what God wants for your life. And that means getting on your knees, if you're physically able to, and emptying your heart before Him. Or even in the quietness of your own place at work, just bowing your heads and saying, "God, I give you this and I give you that." Seek the peace of God through the clarity of the forgiveness that He wants to offer. Now, let's look at the second point here and write this down. Pursue pure vision by adding internal filters. Write that down. Pursue pure vision by adding internal filters. If you and I have any shot at being pure, any shot at all, we need to have filters. You need to have a filter. Now, this is what Matthew 5:8 says. Let's look at this verse together. Blessed are the pure in heart. Let's take the first part of it. First of all, blessed, as you know, means to be happy. God desires for you to be happy. That's what it is. God doesn't want you walking around here like somebody stole your toys and your face is down all the time or you you have a tummy ache. God wants you to enjoy who He is. You know, it's interesting. I've met people who have just incredible physical ailments right now, but they're still able to smile. They're still able to trust in God through their joy. Some of them are here today. I mean, I just think that's amazing. Well, is that because they're personally strong? No. That's because they're finding their joy in God. Nobody's saying, thank God for your circumstances. That'd be ridiculous. Oh, yeah, thank God I can't walk. Oh, thank God for the, thank God I just had a funeral. Thank God I lost my job. No, that's being ridiculous when people talk like that. But I'm going to thank God through it that He's going to see me through this. That is what God, you can still have joy through the storm. Nobody, it's ridiculous to thank God for the storm. Okay. I know sometimes spiritually that's advice that's given. Again, that's just not real. God understands our heart, that it breaks when we go through things. And it's possible to have joy through that. So blessed are the pure. And you can underline this word pure here in your notes. You know, the word purity is, it's a very beautiful term in the Greek language. And it basically gives the understanding of rooting out any impurities. Okay, rooting out, filtering out any impurities. That's what this word means here. Blessed are the pure. In other words, not blessed are the goody-two-shoes and the ones who get it right all the time. That's not what it's saying. Blessed are the boring in heart. No, it doesn't say that either. Blessed are the prunes. I heard somebody one time mocking this verse and talking, no, that's not what it says. That's not the Greek. Again, the person doesn't know the Greek language, so they're making fun of it, but that's not what it means. Blessed are the pure means blessed is the person who filters out the garbage in their heart and the garbage in their life. That's what this means. Blessed are the pure in heart, karos in Greek, where we get the word cardiology in our English language. Blessed are the pure in heart. And the heart stands for the seat of human emotion, the seat of where it all takes place, the control system. And so we are to filter out the garbage in our life. That's what we're told to do if we're going to be pure. Now, I brought for you a filter, an interesting filter here. Okay, each week we might have a filter, by the way, so beware. This is the pool filter at my house. I have a beautiful Olympic-size in-ground pool. I'm just kidding. We don't have in-ground. We bought this pool at Toys R Us for $89.99. And I thought this was the greatest deal ever, you know. I got this. How many of you have any one of these Toys R Us pools? Anybody? Okay, a few of us, okay. Yeah, I got this Toys R Us pool, and I mean, at first I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And then we got it set up and whatnot, and it was up there. And you know, we went through the summer with it. And towards the end of the summer, you know, the filter broke, okay? And, you know, we called up, and they said, sir, sorry, it's out of warranty. Like, we just bought this 2 months ago. What are you talking about, you know? And the guy on the other end of the phone basically said in not so many words, well, what do you want from a Toys R Us pool? But that wasn't too reassuring. Now, you know, I haven't opened this up in a long time, but it might smell. But inside here is the filter. And so here it is right here. Okay. And I put that down. All right. Now, this here filtering system worked like a charm. Okay. You think about a pool needs a filter because you have leaves fall in, you got the bugs and everything else comes in there. And if the water's not filtered, it's going to get dirty. Well, guess what happened to our pool? Our pool looked like a moat, okay? It was green, and there were people living in there, I think, or something, a creature. I thought, you know, a creature was going to come out of there, and all because the filter had broken, and there was no filter in there, and what was once, no matter how many chemicals we tried to treat it with, no matter what we tried to do to it, you know, here was this pool, and it used to look, man, you could see your reflection in it. I mean, even though it was a little Toys R Us pool, boy, it was our version of being, you know, being in the money. You know, you have this little pool, you feel great, right? A little pool. And now our little pool of dreams now looks like a swamp. And I remember when we took it down to pack it away for the winter, and I was cleaning it with the hose. It was so hard to scrub that mold and everything else off of it. And then I gave it as a gift to somebody for Christmas. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. But thought about it, but I didn't do it. And now there's an illustration here that you need to understand. And that is, it is impossible. It is impossible. It is impossible to have a pure heart with God without filters. It's just not going to happen. And I don't care what you try to throw in your heart. I don't care what kind of positive thinking you throw in there to shock your pool. I don't care. I don't care what chemicals you try to treat your life, what seminars and all these positive thinking things to help puff you up for the day. It's not going to happen. You need the filters of God in your life to clean your heart. Again, let's get down to business here. Let's just talk turkey. We all need it. We have a need for filters, and I want to give you an example. I'm only going to give you two today because there's going to be a filter each week here. Okay, let's put that back there. And there's two filters here I want to share with you. First is the compromise filter. Now, the compromise filter here, a couple of these verses, I want you to just internalize them. Look what it says in Psalm 101, verse 3. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. Okay, anything that is worthless. I mean, just think about, and again, your eyes, don't limit it to visual, but visually, physically speaking. Think of it mentally. I'm not going to meditate on thoughts that are not of God. I'm not going to meditate on worry anymore. I'm not going to meditate on what I don't have anymore. I'm not going to meditate on what everybody else has and what I don't have. I'm not going to get caught up in that game. I'm going to focus on who I am in God and who God has designed me to be. That's what I'm going to focus on. That's what God wants me to do. I'm not going to focus on things that are worthless. I'm not going to focus on things that aren't relevant to me. What's another worthless thing? Well, I'm not going to chase sin. I'm not going to chase things that might look good on the front end, but are only going to leave me hurting on the back end. That goes for relationships. That goes for how we spend our money. That goes for how we spend our time. I'm going to make a new plan in my life. I'm going to have the compromise filter. I'm not going to compromise any longer in my life. I'm not going to compromise God and what He wants for me, because God wants better for me than I could ever want for me. And so this becomes a very crucial point to you growing and I growing spiritually, is that if we have a no compromise filter in our life, that's going to filter out a lot of garbage, a lot of things that we let into our heart. And we don't have a pure heart, we have a panicking heart at that point. Okay, we have a troubled heart. And I'm not saying that this is the reason for all anxiety, there's medical reasons as well. But we also throw a lot of anxiety onto our life as well. Sometimes we make our job more important than God. And until you get that, now thank God for your job. Some people don't have a job. But until we put that in its right place, there's going to be a lot of stress that comes from that area. We could put another person in front of God. Well, there's nothing wrong with loving somebody and being faithful, but God has to be the center, and that's only going to make that relationship stronger. And there's going to be a lot of stress until that's put in its right place. And so those are some positive examples. And some negative examples, there could be just be things right now that we're doing, we're pursuing, people and whatnot that are worthless things, and we need to root those out. Secondly, and we'll talk about this with pure gratification in a few weeks when we talk about that message, but Job 31, verse 1, this is Job who was afflicted like nobody's business, okay? You know, when somebody has a hardship in the church, we try to compare them to Job, okay, and go, you're giving Job a run for their money with all the troubles you're going through. Because Job, as you know, suffered an enormous amount of grief and then physical pain as well. But this is what it says here in Job 31. Job says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust on a young woman, okay? Now, that's a young woman, a middle-aged woman, or any woman, okay? And that's for a woman as well. It doesn't matter. Jesus even said that. That we need to make sure that we are not looking lustfully on other people. And that could be sexually. That could be judging somebody. This is a wide range here. Job said he made a covenant with his eyes. We need to make a covenant with our eyes of how we look at other people. And you might go, well, what does this have to do with it? This has everything to do with it. We need to make sure that we're guarding our eyes. Job made a covenant with his eyes. And if there was some person who can make an excuse to be weak in a moment, it's Job. I mean, Job had a lot of reasons to be weak. But Job, in his weakness, made a covenant with his eyes. And we can say, blessed are the pure in heart, by saying, I'm going to have a compromise filter. Let me give you another filter that you may not even be thinking of, the comfort filter. Life is filled with struggles. Now, God isn't in the business of giving us an answer to every single thing we go through in this life. I'm sorry, that's not the case. Because I think if we had an answer for everything, that we might die of a heart attack on the spot. Okay? I think faith guards us from a lot that takes place in our life. But you need to understand something. When you go through troubles, it's okay to be down. It's okay to be knocked down. There's a difference between laying down and being knocked down. That you're going to go through stuff and you need to have a comfort filter in your heart. You need to understand that God sympathizes. One of the shortest verses in the Bible is found in the Gospel of John, 11:35. That's what it says. Jesus wept. It was over the death of Lazarus. Now, you need to understand something. Some people try to go, he's just weeping over the spiritual condition of people. Nonsense. Jesus had compassion on hurting people. This is the same Lord who withdrew to a quiet place when his cousin John the Baptist was beheaded. Grief hit the Son of God like it hits you and I. And God sympathizes with you. Why do I share this? Because it's possible to go through hardships in your life, particularly that have to do with grief, and they could, in many ways, draw you away from God because you're so hurt. And that's normal. But you don't want that hurt to morph into bitterness that you don't even see coming. You need to understand something, that God sympathizes with you. That the Son of God wept and his heart was broken. That it's important to take that to God. Secondly, there's another verse that all of us know very well, found in Philippians chapter 4. It says this in verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." When you and I are struggling, God wants to walk with us. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you need to have it all together. You need to put filters in your life. You need to put a filter of no compromise in your life, and you need to have a filter of comfort in your life. Those two filters will help purify your heart. When you say, you know what, God, I'm going to filter it through you. I'm not going to compromise any longer. I'm going to live for your glory and your honor. That's going to produce peace in your life. You know, wouldn't it be great if you go to a doctor and get a B12 shot, right? And that kind of boosts you up. There's other shots you could take to help you. Wouldn't it be great if you go to the doctor or you come to church here and the pastor could administer you a peace shot? Hey, give me a little peace, man. I've been struggling, man. If you could just give me, you have any mercy laying around? Could I take that in a pill form? I'm afraid of shots, And could you flavor it up with a bubble gum? Because I'm really not big on plain. Imagine if that was it. Man, that'd be great. It don't work like that. Peace and mercy and forgiveness, obviously, are all divine blessings bestowed by God. But they are conditional for a reason. And when we talk about purity in seeing God is conditional. By his grace, we're able to see him, but it's a blessing as we put these filters in our life. So let me ask you this question before we move on to our last point and close. What do you need to filter out of your life right now? What are you involved in right now that you know that, hey, you know what? God has a better plan for me. Now, I'm not telling you it's going to be easy. I'm not telling you it's going to be popular all the time. I'm not even telling you that you're going to want to do it. But you don't base it on what you want to do and you don't want to do. You base it on what God wants for you. You will never go wrong with that mentality, and that will bless you significantly. And then most importantly, I encourage you wholeheartedly, if you're having trouble in your life in any area that has to do with panic or struggle or grief or anything like that, I want to invite you to take advantage of all that the church has to offer. You know, there's an insert that one of the inserts you received is about a brand new program we're launching that I'm very excited about. I envisioned this when we moved here to New Door Plain because there are so many hurting people, even in our own church. We're launching a new ministry called the Freedom Ministry, and it's going to be for recovery type needs, everything from anger to dependency issues. It's going to be for grief and for divorce. And so now there's going to be other areas that get added. I invite you this Tuesday night. Now, just so you know, so everybody's clear, Tuesday comes after Monday every week. It's amazing. Right after Monday, and it's before Wednesday this week. So Tuesday this week, I invite you here at 7:30 for the Freedom Ministry. I'm going to give you the whole nuts and bolts of the ministry and what it's going to be. And if you've struggled through a divorce, if you're battling through grief right now, if you've ever had any dependency issues, whether you've licked it or not, whether you're struggling or you've beat it, come Tuesday night, because God wants to use you and God wants to bless you and help you in this area. I'm personally taking the ownership of this program to get it off the ground. And so I invite you. Now, I don't want to come here Tuesday and there's four people, because I'll be upset. And then when I get upset, I'll start raiding all the restaurants all on New Dorp Lane, okay? I'll raid every single one of them. Do not let me get upset. You come. If this applies to you, maybe you've been wanting to help hurting people, you come. You're going to hear about that. Maybe you're hurting. You come. And as I mentioned before, if I haven't yet, Tuesday night. Come learn about how to get some real filters in your life Tuesday night. I encourage you for that. Now, let's close with this last point. We said we got to have pure vision, right? We got to seek God's forgiveness. We got to pursue God by adding filters. We got to pursue purity by adding filters in our life. How necessary is that? And then finally, as we close, we got to remain pure by regularly checking our focus. How many of you went for an eye doctor appointment before? Okay, I have. I went recently again, and I got these new cool glasses, okay? Now, somebody recently said, a little foggy right now, but they recently said, why don't you wear your glasses at church on Sunday? Well, because when I went to the doctor, he let me know that I have excellent vision up close. He said, you could be preaching well into your 80s, and you'll always be able to see your Bible without needing glasses. My issue is distance, so sometimes, I'll wear these when I'm driving or anything like that, But it's important every 2 years or every year to go for an eye appointment. And one of the tests that they issue you is he has you focus on the old fat. No matter how sophisticated they get, they still have the old eye chart they put up there. And they have you look in here, and what you're doing is you're focusing. They're checking your vision, and you're focusing to see what eye might be weak, perhaps, where your vision might be impaired, and everything in between that a doctor does. And I think you and I need to regularly, we remain pure by regularly checking our vision and making sure nothing else is coming before God, making sure that God is not out of focus. And my friends, I can get up here every week and sell you a bill of goods and make you smile and laugh and tickle your ears, but that stuff will never work for you outside these doors. You need real biblical principles, and here it is right here. You want to constantly check your focus on God. You want to see where it's at. Am I focusing on God? Am I focusing on myself? Am I focusing on my goals, or am I focusing on God? Here's a little tip and a little secret. As you make God the center of your life and you focus on Him, He will bless the other areas of your life. He'll give you wisdom where you need it. If you're struggling right now and you need wisdom, He'll give you peace where you need it. There'll be an extra sense of His mercy in your life. There'll be blessings in areas that you specifically have needs of right now in your life. And if you are walking through this life with some type of pain, although that pain may never go away, God will give you the strength to walk through with that pain. And so here's the blessing that comes. For they can, and finish it with me, for they shall see God. Now, I close with a biblical illustration. Thinking about seeing God and seeing Jesus, I think back to what the scripture taught us about the foot of the cross. You remember the foot of the cross, right, as we've learned about it in scripture? Jesus was beaten practically beyond recognition, the scripture says, so much so they were pulling the hair out of his beard, whipped and beaten that his inner organs were exposed. He carried the cross only so far and collapsed, and he received assistance bringing the cross up to Golgotha. And there, they spread him wide, and they drove nails through his hands and his feet. And as they propped him up on the cross, he hung there for 6 hours. Now, in that time, at the foot of the cross, was several notable characters. But one of them was his mother, Mary. And nothing like a mother's love, right? And there's Mary at the foot of the cross. And she's seeing all these things that are taking place. And she's watching the son who she gave birth to agonizing on the cross, knowing that this is the plan of God, that he is to be the forgiveness for mankind. And there he is, bearing the sins of the world upon him, the judgment of God upon him, so we don't have to. And who's also there is John, the Apostle John. And Jesus said to John, in the midst of his pain and his suffering, he commissioned the care of his mother into John's hands. Look at the compassion of Jesus, that in all that's going on, he still cares so much about his mother, for his mother to make sure that she's in the care of John. I find that remarkable. And they saw with that statement and the actions of Jesus, the compassion of God right there. They saw that. And then perhaps the greatest scene of all was when they heard him utter those words and then give up his spirit when he said, "It is finished. I've paid for it in full." They saw that. And that changed their life. We are here today because the Apostle John and the other disciples, to the point of death, were willing to take this gospel and spread it abroad because they saw the plan of God. Why am I sharing this with you as we close? There's power in seeing what God wants you to see. Just like there are things that you've seen with your eyes or heard with your ears or you've experienced that has hurt you significantly in this life. There are things people have done to you that you've saw that have hurt you. And there's no amount of counseling you can go through that erases those things. There are some things that are irreversible. We understand that. And that is why all the more God wants you to have a good view of who he is and what he provides for you and how he wants to bless you. The purity option. God wants you to take pleasures, most importantly, and seeing what he has for your life. Let us no longer settle any longer. Let us get a full view of all that God has for us. And that is why we're told in the scripture to set our eyes and our minds above, that we fix our eyes on the author and the perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this day. God, we confess to you that we've blown it a number of times. There are things in our life that we are not proud of, God. There are sins that we have been carrying around. There are sins and there are things that we've been carrying around for most of our life. There's hurt that other people have done to us that we're still carrying around. Lord, there are people here today who have gone through the pain of abuse or divorce. There are people today who have been counted out because they were told that they're a loser or they have a disability and people have held them down their whole life. God, there are people here today who have it all together but don't turn over the controls to you. God, there are some of us here today who put other things before you, the very things that you've blessed us with. Lord, we confess that we are a people who need your love and need your direction. And so we seek your forgiveness today. God, we ask you to give us the strength to put these filters in our life, and we want to remain pure. We want to remain pure by constantly checking that our focus is on you. We ask for the strength to do this. God, we know that we need this level of organized worship in our life, God, that we would see you clearly. Help us to see all that you have for us. And we sow these prayers this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said,